With your Bibles to Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29. I'm going to read this chapter together. And it's my intention that we look at chapter 29 this morning and certainly look at chapter 30 this evening. Let's just hear God's word read together. Job continued his discourse. How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me, and my children were around me, when my path was drenched with cream and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil. When I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me and stepped aside. And the old men rose to their feet. The chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. The voices of the nobles were hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. Whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me, because I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist him. The man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing, justice was my robe and my turban. I was the eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. I thought, I will die in my own house. My days as numerous as the grains of sand. My roots will reach to the water, and the dew will lie all night on my branches. My glory will remain fresh in me, the bow ever new in my hand. Men listen to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. After I had spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words as the spring rain. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. I dwelt as a king among his troops. I was like one who comforts mourners. As verse 1 reminds us, Job is still speaking. This is his speech in response to Bildad's short speech. In actual fact, in response to the shortest speech in the book of Job, we are now encounter the largest and longest speech in this same book, 6 chapters. And as we come to chapter 29, Job continues to speak. He continues his discourse. And what we see here of Job in chapter 26, remember, he spoke of the awesomeness of God. He said to Bildad, Bildad, you want to speak about God? Well, let's talk about God. And he reminded Bildad of the awesomeness of God. Chapter 27, he spoke of the judgment of God, that God always will have the final say. And one day, there will be a day of reckoning, not just for you and for me and for those who live in Merthyr Tydfil, but one day there will be a day of reckoning for all the nations. And the psalmist reminds us that he will judge the nations with equity. Only those who are found in Christ, only those who have died in Christ, only those who are living in Christ will be spared the awesome judgment and wrath and anger of God. Why? Because God is angry with our sin. And then in chapter 28, last Sunday night, if you were here, Job continued to speak not just of the awesomeness and judgment of God, but in chapter 28, he spoke of the wisdom of God. And as we come to chapter 29, we see that Job is still speaking. But now, if you like, he changes direction slightly. He pauses, Selah, pause for thought. And now he remembers, he reflects on his life. As we get older, we reflect and remember the former days all the more. But I want to encourage you, if you're a young person here this morning, that if you know the Lord, I want you to remember, particularly in those dark days, I want you to pause for thought. Whatever age we are this morning, if we are the Lord's, then when we are going through difficulties, we can pause for thought. We can stop and remember what the Lord has done for you in the past. Because sometimes when we go through difficulties, when we go through painful experiences, sometimes we can lose sight of who God is, what he has done, and we can become so taken up with ourselves and our current predicament that we lose sight of all that the Lord has done. And so Job, in chapter 29, in these opening verses, he is looking back. He is reflecting on those past days. Look at verse 2. He reflects on the days when he knew full well that the Lord was watching over him. Verse 3, his lamp shone over me. His eye watched over me. His lamp shone over me, verse 3. And in verse 4, his blessing was upon me. He remembers the moment when not only was the Lord's presence keenly felt, but he had his children with him, running around. His home was a blessed home, that he had a concern for his children. And so he taught them the necessity of keeping a short account with God. Regularly, we're told in Job chapter 1, that he would offer sacrifices on behalf of his own sin and the sin of his family. He reflects on those times when the love of his wife was faithful to him. His 10 children were there, and their children, the servants. Oh, it was a good time. And the Lord was with me. The Lord was keen to watch over me and to protect me and to lead me and to guide me. He fed me. He satisfied me. I was really content in him. I lack nothing good, because all the good things that I enjoyed came from his right hand. He surely is a good God. And he smiled upon me. He smiled upon my family. Oh, they were precious days. They were precious times. Nothing wrong in reflecting, is it? Because what he's doing, he's recalling the goodness of God. His word came to me. His word was like a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His eye. Surely, if his eye's on the sparrow, his eye was upon me. Oh, the blessings continue to come. One child, two children, three, four, nine, 10. Not quite enough for a football team, but hey, who cares? Who's counting? Blessed be the name of the Lord. A supportive, loving, faithful, gracious, humble wife. And the Lord was with us. He stood amongst us. His blessing poured out upon us and my home, my family. What's happened since? Has God stopped being that kind and faithful and unchanging and gracious and merciful God? No, surely not. He is the unchanging God. Our Savior is the unchanging Savior. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. You sung it? Do you believe it? The Bible teaches it. Has God changed? Has he changed in his love? In his attitude towards Job? No. He loves Job as much now in the darkness, in the pain and the peril, as he did when Job was in the light, in the warmth and the presence of his God. He loves his people with an everlasting love. He doesn't change in his attitude towards us. Sadly, sometimes we change in our attitude towards him. But we know that God's testimony of Job is that he is a righteous man. He's been declared righteous because of his faith in Almighty God. He takes God at his word. It's not theoretical living. It's practical, real living. God says it, he believes it, and he lives in the light of his word. Whatever scripture he had available to him, very little, we can presuppose. God hasn't changed. His love hasn't changed. What has changed from the early chapters to now? I'll tell you what's changed. His circumstances have changed. God hasn't changed. His love hasn't changed. And even Job's attitude towards God hasn't changed. Still trusting. Simply trusting every day. Even though it was a stormy way. Even when his faith was so small. Trusting Jesus, that is all. What has changed? His circumstances has changed. Now, I want to say this morning. If we were to live our lives with the Lord here on earth, and we never suffered pain, rejection, sorrow, or anything like that, if everything just went well, let me tell you, your relationship with the Lord would not be as it is when we are exposed to difficulties. Because painful circumstances, they can drive us to seek the Lord all the more. They drive us to our knees. They drive us into the quiet place. They drive us that we seek, we cry to him. We go to the holiest place of all. We stand there. And the fear of being consumed is now vanished. We stand before him in the holiest place of all. We stand before his throne of grace where we might obtain mercy to help us in time of need. And we stand not in our merit, not in our efforts, not in our good works, but we stand because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus and clothed in his perfect righteousness. It's because of him that enables me to stand. It's because of him that enables me to call. It's because of him that enables me to be connected. It's because of him that I can call the Almighty Creator and Sustainer of the universe Father. It's because of Jesus that I'm part of his family. It's because of Jesus that I have a hope in him, which is steadfast and sure. It's because of Jesus that I know that I'm safe in his hands. It's because of Jesus that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's because of Jesus I have an eternal destiny. I have a place prepared in heaven for me. I don't deserve it. It's because of him. Because the Son of God who loved me gave himself for me. It's all of him. It's all of his grace. That undeserved favor that flows from God and flows from his heart to sinners like you and me. We deserve hell. We deserve eternal judgment for our sins. But the wonder of the gospel is this, that Christ bore that judgment. He stood condemned in our place so that souls unworthy might live. What's changed here? Circumstances has changed. And he reflects on those days when I was in my prime. Hey, I'm a young man, but I find myself reflecting on those days when I was in my prime. Especially when you're going to look for a new pair of trousers. You reflect on those days when you're in your prime. He remembers those when health and prosperity, and more than that, there was an intimacy. His life was one of, verse 6, I'd love to say, his life was one and his home was one of peaches and cream. But if we're going to be biblically accurate this morning, his life was one of olives and cream. You know the expression, peaches and cream? Ah, well, here we are, olives and cream. He says this. He said, the Almighty was with me. Look at verse 4. He talks of God's intimate friendship. What an amazing thing to claim, that he was friends with God. But what has changed? Health gone. Children gone. The faithful love of a wife gone. Good name gone. Possessions gone. What's his response? The Lord gave, and simply the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall the Lord give us good things and not bring and allow bad things to come into our lives? Circumstances have changed. He reflects on those times when not only was he a blessed man with a blessed family, he reflects verse 7, that the Lord used him to be an influence for good in society. Look at verse 7. I went to the gate of the city, took my seat in the public square. The young men saw me and stepped aside. Do you know, I often think in our society today, Thursday night, when we're having fellowship at Peter and Rose's, we were reflecting on what has changed in our society in the last 30 years, 40 years. There has been a change, not for the better. Well, I'm a young man, I keep telling you this. If I tell you often enough, you'll believe it. Looks can be deceiving. But I've noticed a huge change. I notice a lack of courtesy in our world today. There was a time when a man would hold a shop door open for a young lady or for an older lady. There was a time, I was observing someone coming to a funeral I conducted recently, and this taxi pulled up. And there were two very elderly ladies in this taxi. And they struggled to open the door, push the door open. They were trying with one hand to wedge the door open to the taxi with their stick and try to swivel round. They were in need. And I was waiting for the moment when the taxi driver would get out and he would hold the door open for the old lady. But days are different now. Courtesy and respect are long gone. We see something of that in the southern states in America. When I've been out in America, I've never been called sir so many times in all my life. I thought I'd come again. You get treated well here. Of course, sir. You even go to McDonald's in America. It's very different to the McDonald's here. They serve you. They treat you with respect because there's still respect in the southern states. There once was respect here, but it's fast evaporating. I'm not saying it still doesn't exist. Of course it does. Because it exists with some of you, I'd like to think. Courtesy. Well, the young men, when they saw Job, they would step aside. The old men would rise to their feet. Verse 9, the chief men refrained from speaking. They covered their mouths with their hands. The voices of the nobles were hushed. Their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. See, they had a high regard for Job. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they saw something of God in him. And all that he professed was a reality in his living. There was a consistency in his living. You see, sometimes we say one thing, but our behavior doesn't match up to what we say. And the world will notice. The world can distinguish between an authentic believer and, to use a Welsh term, a joking believer. When I first came to Wales, someone said they had a joking Christmas tree. I haven't a clue what they were on about. I imagine they had a Christmas tree that told jokes. You know, I say. But then I quickly learnt that in the valleys in Wales, a joking Christmas tree is an artificial Christmas tree. Am I right? Yes, good. Are you a joking Christian? Using the joking in the Welsh sense. Are you an artificial Christian? Or are you an authentic believer? The world can tell. How do I know? They tell me. They can distinguish between what is authentic and genuine and what is joking and insincere. Job was seen. His life matched up to his claims. Why? They saw the grace of God. He was a righteous man, and his life was used by God for the good of his family. And also, it's okay. Say I'll be finished in 45 minutes. And there's still time to join us. God used him not only... We'll have lunch as well if they want. It doesn't happen often, does it? But here's an appropriate time to say, when you come to church, please ensure that your phones are switched off or put onto silent. It's common courtesy. The voices of the nobles were hushed. In other words, God was using Job of benefit not only to his family, but his righteous, godly living was of benefit to society. That's what it means here. Whoever heard me speak, they spoke well of me. Whoever saw me commended me, verse 11. Why? Well, he was very practical. Because when he saw a need, he responded to that need. This is practical Christianity, not social gospel. This is authentic gospel. Saw a need, responded. Thirsty, gave him a drink. In prison, visited them. Without clothes, clothed them. What does he say here? He said, I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the orphans, the fatherless, and assisted. The man who was dying, I sat and prayed with them. I made the widow's heart sing. Righteousness was my clothing. Justice was my robe and my head covering or my turban. I was as eyes to the blind. I was as feet to the lame. I was like a father to the needy. I spoke up for the case of the stranger. Broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. In other words, he saw injustice. And so he was a voice for the voiceless. That's what food bank is. Isn't it? That's what night shelter is. It's a voice. Street pastors, it's a voice for the voiceless. It's responding in a godly, practical way to the needs of people who are perishing. Sure, we ultimately want to be able to share the gospel with them. Sure we do. But if someone's hungry, you feed them. And if someone's without shelter, then you find someone safe for them to live. And in doing that, God will give you the opportunity. He will give you the opportunity for you to share your faith, your testimony, and to share your relationship and the reality of God's grace in your life and your relationship and friendship with Jesus. And I'll tell you this, and you won't even have to force the issue, because God will present the opportunity and for the conversation to take place. They're often the ones who ask the question. Let's trust in the work of the Spirit of God. Let's not try and do his work for him. Allow him to do his work. But be ready. Always ready to give a reason of the hope that we have within us. Are you ready? And it's not a 10-minute thing, is it? It can be a quick 2-minute testimony.
Leave them wanting more. Befriend them. Be gracious to them. Forgive them as you've been forgiven.
Be merciful as you have been shown mercy. God's not only using him as he reflects and looks back of use and usefulness and blessings for his family, but for society. But then he has this aspiration. Do you have an aspiration? He's in a bad way here, Job. Let's not downplay this. Okay? Physically, he's in a bad way. Okay? Skin rotting, excruciating pain. Physically, he's in a bad way. Emotionally, he's in a bad way. He's just sat and listened and responded to the inadequate comfort and the folly of their theology of these three friends. He's in a bad way. And within him, there is a light that is shining. And that's the light of God's grace. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I've sat at the side of a dying believer. I remember dear Kath Lewis. Physically, she was never a big lady, but she shrunk. She was like a little doll in what appeared to be an enormous bed. You could still see it was Kath, but she was in a bad way. But within her, there was a light shining, the light of the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, the light has not gone out in Job's life. And even though you've been plunged into darkness and despair this morning, if you're his, the light of his grace has not gone out. The light of the gospel in Wales has not gone out. You see, what's happened, circumstances, we may reflect, we do it all the time, sure we do. We reflect on when we were teenagers, Friday nighters. We reflect on when we were young parents. We reflect on a time when the chapels in Merthyr were full and overflowing. We reflect on these days. What's changed? Has God changed? No. Has his gospel changed? No. Sometimes we do change. But Job hadn't changed. Circumstances change. Sure they do. I grew up in a thriving Baptist church in Gloucester. Let me tell you, in all the years, from age 3 to 20, I can never, ever remember the church having to do evangelism. I say that today, people, particularly younger pastors, they look at me and they say, well, that's terrible. And I'll tell you why. They didn't need to. Because every Sunday, people would come to church. Society, that's what society did 30 years ago, 40 years ago, came to church. But don't be conned, don't be fooled that all those full chapels were filled with people who were friends with God, who were in an intimate relationship with God. Because time tells, and we see today, 30 years on, if those who are still alive and living, perhaps they're nowhere with the Lord. Maybe, just maybe, those professions were not genuine. Sure, he heals the backslide, and we pray for that. My own brother, where does he stand with the Lord today? Some might say, ah, but he once knew. But today, how do I pray for him? Well, if I pray that the Lord will restore him, and he was never the Lord's, then that prayer will never be heard. I have to go back and say, Lord, save him. I have to. Do not be conned and fooled by the past. There were blessings of the past. What's changed here? He's been transferred from the light and the blessing of the past to the darkness and the pain of the present. And many of us are in the dark and the pain of the present. Children have gone. Husbands have gone. Wives have gone. Many family members have gone. And it's hard and it hurts. Friends we thought were Christians have gone.
People that we counted on have gone. Circumstances have changed. But what I want to encourage you this morning, that just as in Job's case, we still are held in the loving grip and embrace of a gracious God. His love will never let go of you.
And so he says, this is his aspiration. I want to die in my home. I want to die in my home. I buried a lady last week. She was living on Brecon Road in her late 90s. 99 she was. Betty. And that was her aspiration. I want to die alone at home. Which is unusual, because most people say, I want to die at home, but I want all the family around me.
But she didn't have a family. But she wanted to die at home.
Others tell me, if I have to go into hospital, then if I die in hospital, so be it. But I want it to be quick. I don't want to be there racked with pain day after day after day after day. And there are no guarantees, are there? His aspiration was, Lord, that I might die in my own house. And that he says this, that my days will be long, as numerous as the grains of sand, that my roots will reach the water. In other words, that I'll still be strong, and the dew will lie all night on my branches, and my glory will remain fresh, that I'll still be vigorous to my end. That's what it literally means here. That's his aspiration. Then he talks about how men listened to him expectantly. And he says his words fell gently on their ears. And they waited for me as showers and drank in my words, because God was able to speak through him and use him. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed. The light of my face was precious to them. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. I dwelt amongst them as a king amongst their troops, his troops. I was like the one who comforted mourners. But now, things are different. I want to close this morning by saying this. Why is chapter 29 of Job there for us? And I'll tell you why. Because we need, through Job's experience, we need to understand that actually, without trials in our lives, we could never test the reality of our faith. Without trials, we could never test the reality of our faith. You see, it's easy to say, I love Jesus and I will follow Jesus all the days of my life when things are going well. But when sorrow comes, when pain comes, when death comes calling, when illness comes, when difficulties come, when rejection comes, when poverty comes, that becomes your reality, becomes my reality. What then of my relationship and intimacy with God? And so what we learn, that's why chapter 29 is there for us, is that Job, as a godly man, he reflects on God's goodness, and he says this,
and he's still good, even in the pain, even in the sorrow, and even in the darkness. That's the conclusion. And we'll see tonight in chapter 30 how he builds on that. He's still good.
Even though I feel lousy, even though I feel low, even if I feel like giving up and thrown in the towel, it doesn't matter. That doesn't change how God is responding and reacting to me. He loves me with an everlasting love. He cares for me. And even though he's brought me and allowed me to come from a circumstance of lightness and blessing to darkness and pain, what a faithful God Job has. What a faithful God have I. What a faithful God. What a faithful God have I. Here we have it. Faithful in every way. And there are times when I'm sat in my study and it's like sitting in the darkness. There are times I'm sat there and I feel alone.
sometimes afraid. And then the words come to me. What a faithful God have I. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord cares, keeps, protects, even in the pain, even in the darkness. It doesn't matter how I feel, the reality is he's faithful. His grace continues to sustain me. And he's rich in mercy. And he loves me. And one day, by his grace, he will take me to be with him. Friend, brother, sister, hang in there. Because for each of us, the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Father, you know the difficulties that many go through and are going through. We thank you that you speak clearly to us through Job. You speak clearly to us through your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to go through rejection of men, who was willing to go to the cross because of his immense love for sinners like us. What an amazing God we serve. What a faithful God we worship. Lord, help us to hang in there. Help us to cling to you, to cling to your word, and to trust you. And even though your plans make no sense, help us to trust you, who is all wise. We give you thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing together as we come to the Lord's